flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to do the town's business. Lord, we ask you to guide us, direct us, and have Holy Spirit direct our way. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those who are struggling through this crazy time that we're living in. Please give us guidance and direction as we move forward. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, next item, citizens' comments. I don't think I've seen any come in, Chief, but if you would please just check the list. Okay, thank you very much. Next item is the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion to accept the minutes as written and presented.
I will make that motion to accept the minutes.
Motion from Ms. Carton, I have a second.
Second.
Second from Ms. Wheaton. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those have got roll call.
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0-1. Next item, staff reports. Everybody see the staff reports. If you have any questions, you can look at the staff report. Okay. Committee reports. Ms. Carton?
No meeting.
Mr. Watts?
Same.
All right. The Planning Commission having not a meeting, the IDA did, minutes attached. Ms. Carter or Ms. Turner? I hear you're chairman of the IDA now?
That is correct.
Do you have anything that y'all would like to add to the meeting or just kind of bring to our highlight?
Just that the IDA is anxious to meet with council to go over council's retreat information and was very receptive to the direction from council regarding becoming an economic development authority. They look forward to working under council's direction regarding downtown revitalization.
Thank you very much. Robert E. Lee, Soil and Water, do you not have any meeting or you don't know if I had anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next item is the utility policy change, Mr. Porter.
This is just formalizing the utility policy change that council discussed and agreed to at the last meeting. This allows for an in-town rate for out-of-town nonprofit community benefiting organizations that are undergoing a fiscal hardship, and it just adds a sentence to that effect at the bottom of the policy.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the recommendation from staff? I have a motion to accept it. May I have a second, please?
All right.
I have a second from Mr. Watt. Okay, one of our changes in our meeting status now, where I normally ask for, does anybody have any additional comments? I'm going to recognize each council member around the table each time if they have any comments they can express them. Mr. Carmen?
I do have a comment about this. After I read the comments, I went back and listened to the meeting. And I was, I did not understand that this was going to be for all nonprofits. I thought it was going to be just for the pool. So then when I went back and listened to it, you specifically said nonprofit. So I'm a little concerned about opening that up to all nonprofits. I thought they came and asked us for a specific request. So I am concerned that this opens this up for anybody that's, and I'm not in favor of that. So I'm not sure how that plays out, but my original motion last month, my brain was thinking one thing, and actually I didn't understand that.
I'll just interject real quick and then go back around. I think the one thing that is regarding this that was brought up as topic was that it has to, and we said all nonprofits that benefit the people, that benefit town residents, and they have to make applications. So, it, you know, it's just not open to all kinds, you know, any kind of nonprofit. They have to specifically benefit the people of the town, the community, and they have to make application. They, I mean, it's not an automatic grant. They have to make application. That's the way I understood it. Am I wrong with that, Ms. Clark?
That would be correct. I think what I would point out to council is that this would be a very small population because it is out-of-town nonprofit that benefit the town. I really don't know that we have a lot of those that are on town utilities. So I think it's a relatively small population. They do have to make application, and what they are getting is in-town rates. So it wouldn't even benefit an in-town customer to make that request.
Well, I felt like that, I wanted to clarify that since I did have an opportunity to speak, that I was not clear on that. After I read, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what happened, but yet in fact it was. So I'm just concerned that we're opening that door. Whether there are many people on the other side of that door that can apply, I'm just making a statement that I'm concerned we're opening a door that probably shouldn't be open.
Pardon?
I don't need a motion to accept it. I don't really have any heartburn over it. The thing that I like about it is it feels like it has checks and balances. So there has to be an application. There's going to be a review process from staff, and I'm assuming if staff's not comfortable, we'll bring it to us. So I feel like no matter what, we're going to see it at some point. So I'm comfortable with that. So, and like there is limited, right now, there's limited. And if we need to go back and revise it again, it's something that can be done. So we can undo things we do. So at this point, I'm okay with it, knowing those factors.
Ms. Watts?
I'm comfortable.
Ms. Wheaton?
I voted no against it. I agree with Ms. Turner. I mean, she said it all. I'm not really comfortable with it.
Okay. We have a first and second. We'll call for a vote. Ms. Turner?
No.
Ms. Corbin?
Aye.
Ms. Watts?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
No.
And I have the deciding vote, and I vote aye. Motion carried, 3-2-0. Oh, I'm sorry, 3-2-1. Okay. Next item is adoption of a budget. We've had our public hearing. Everybody's had time to look at that. So I will accept a motion to accept the budget as presented.
Make a motion, we accept the budget as presented.
A motion from Ms. Carter, have a second?
I'll second.
A second from Ms. Watts. Comments, Ms. Watts?
I'm
sorry.
Oh, so okay.
Again. Ms. Turner.
Aye.
Okay.
I have no comments.
Okay, thank you. Any comments, Ms. Carter?
No, I have no comments.
Mr. Watts?
No.
And Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Okay, roll call vote. Ms. Turner.
Aye.
Ms. Gardner.
Aye.
Mr. Watts.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
No.
3-1-1. Next item, Ms. Carter, is the approval for generator completion.
So I'm going to start this off with an apology to the council because generally when I bring you a request for purchase approval, I bring you a very specific, this is what I'm asking you to approve with a number tied to that, and I did not do that in this case. I just gave you lots of pages. And there's a reason for that. So the generator purchase is really triggered by the accreditation process. This is something that the police department is going to need to go through the accreditation process and to be accredited. And there's different paths you can go down. So the generators that you have in your packet are not all equivalent. So you do have clearly a low price from Steve Drummond for the smaller size generator. He also has a 35 kilowatt generator, which is substantially larger. If you ever wanted to do something in the basement and power HVAC for that, you would need the larger generator. So, and then I gave you the other ones because you kind of have things in between. You have a 20, you have a 22, you have a 35 kilowatt. So I really wanted to present those options before council to understand better from council whether your desire was to kind of go with, we want to do the least expensive option that will power the building as it is today, or we want to do something that is the next level in case we're going to do something more with the building in the future. Does that make sense?
Yes, and before we go on, and we'll get a motion in a second and ask questions to go from there.
Okay.
I would like the chief to address, he's the one, correct, chief, that got the quotes?
Yes, sir.
And so that means, I mean,
it's just,
obviously you talk to the guys, right?
Everyone of them.
Okay, I would like for you to give us the insight of what you thought while you talked to these guys.
Yeah, you know, being a, I'm not an electrician, so I mean, I'm at their mercy. We're running into a tricky time right now because what I'm hearing from everybody is getting these things, we're looking at 6 months to up to a year because of COVID. They're behind. They can't get their hands on them. It's a real touch and go with what we were able to go with. And each one of these, you know, different companies have come in. And each one, you know, we take our experts in what they're in their field. So they look at the thing and they tell us what they feel is best for the department. Ms. Carter touched on, like, looking at the future. So if we ever decide that we want to hold our own evidence in our building and not have to rely on another agency, we're going to have that area down there designated, you know, in the basement with, you know, ventilation and proper, you know, lighting and that kind of thing, you know, refrigerators to keep cold stuff. And so my personal opinion is, after talking to these guys, I think you pay now instead of paying later. And it's all, you know, I don't know what the vision of the police department is down the road. I know where we're at now. But if you want to do these things down the road, it's already there. We're ready to go. And each one brought, you know, different types of, like, of units. And the one unit, we talked with the one gentleman, Mr. Drummond. He has a unit that's available that he could probably have installed within a month. And he's doing us a huge, huge favor by giving it to us at cost. We'll never get that down, that option down the road.
And that is the larger thing.
That's the larger one. He has that one in stock. He only has one of it. And he's ready to go. He said, you know, upon, if he was to get the job, he said he could hopefully have it done within a month or so.
So the low price would be the 20 kilowatt, which is $9,619.80. The high price with the more substantial capacity would be 35 kilowatts, and that would be $17,344. So this, you know, we just really need to have an understanding from council what it is you would like to do with that. I can see both sides of the argument on this. You know, as the person who watches the financial side of this, I tend to look at it and go, this is what we need to get accredited. Let's get what we need to get accredited. But I understand where the chief is coming from. So we really just need council to kind of guide us. But we'll let council know there is an additional cost to this that will not come before council, which is the actual installation of the tank. But that will be underneath the amount that we need purchase approval for. But there's about another $2,500 associated with this project besides the purchase approval we're asking for tonight.
Okay. All right. Since we have, I would say, four estimates, right? Two,
yes,
for Mr. Drummond and two other ones?
Yes, sir.
Instead of putting a motion on the table at this time, because we have not narrowed it down, what I would like to do is I'll call on each of you for question time for Ms. Carter or Chief, at which time we as council maybe can come to a conclusion of which one of these that we are comfortable with, and then we will put the motion on the floor. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just keeping in mind too, we're under a time frame with estimates too. I had to go back and get them to re-estimate again.
Things are changing quickly, everybody.
Yeah.
Trustee Ms. Turner, you're good.
Okay, so I read all of that, and I actually understood some of that.
What's that mean?
All of those documents.
Oh, okay.
So my question to you is that, it is my understanding from reading that they're all propane, so you're going to put a propane tank in?
Yes.
At any time, did you look at other options for whether it be gas or whether it be diesel or something that is a combination of?
I went with what they recommended.
Okay. So I don't really have a preference either way from what you've done. They will both do the job. The question is, do we want to put the extra money?
Right.
My question was, is looking down the road,
mm-hmm.
and the situation that we're in right now with no gas, we could very well be in a position to have no propane.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that, so thinking down the road, how do you do what you do in an emergency situation without those resources?
Right.
So,
we just have to rely on other agencies to get us through. But in order for us to be accredited, we have.
I understand that. But yeah. I was thinking past that, because once you've got to solve the immediate problem, which
mm-hmm.
is get accredited, have accreditation. But in the process of looking, and the problems that we're having with gas and fuel and getting things in supplies, is that. Could that be a factor in what we're looking at to make sure that you're covered in that?
Yeah.
So, that was my question.
Yeah.
Did you look at any of the other options?
No,
for,
I have not. I mean,
do you know why? Is there a reason why you chose choosing on their recommendation?
I'm going to answer part of that.
Okay.
So, and I'm sure that Mr. Thompson has thoughts on this too. Typically, the diesel generators are just a lot more expensive.
Okay.
And so typically when you're talking about an application where you're going to have neighbors,
got it. Okay.
You're normally going to go with the propane just because it's going to be a much quieter generator.
Okay.
So that's normally the issue. I mean, we've got diesel generators. They make quite the racket. Also, Mr. Thompson, off the top of your head, what does the portable generator take? Does that take diesel?
Yes, ma'am.
So the other thing to bear in mind in terms of emergency situations, number one, of course, the police department generator, we need to keep that propane tank ready to go. So you're going to have quite a reserve available to you before you're going to run out. The other thing is we are getting ourselves positioned so that, we have a portable generator. That purpose of that is for things like if we had a power failure and needed to pump to Sweetbriar right now, we could take the portable
right.
generator there. We had a power failure and needed to pump at the raw water pump station, we can take it there. Those are issues we're taking care of as we go through the process. We're going to have a standalone generator at the raw water pumping station. So we're kind of weaning our dependence off of that in those cases, but it's also still available for if we couldn't get propane, but we could get diesel,
right. Right.
We would have that.
I just want to cover, because I'm
yes,
seeing
ma'am.
A real problem in my industry. I'm seeing a real problem. My last question is that if you bought the less expensive one for now to solve your problem, could you utilize that somewhere else in the town proper and get another one later to accomplish all the other stuff? Can you move it?
I can answer that.
Yes, ma'am.
That's going to be a Charles question.
Yeah.
So, is that
would that be a possibility that you? Yes, ma'am. It can be actually relocated to this building.
Okay.
If that be the case, if you need to upgrade from there to here, or my maintenance shop does not have a standby generator, but we have smaller units, portable. So, but to answer your question, it can be traded in on another unit. It can be relocated to another facility. Yes, ma'am.
Piggybacking on that question, while I have it fresh in my mind, if you were to relocate it, are you looking at additional costs to hook up a new one, disconnect an old one? So you're looking at, because I'm where I understand the hookup costs are quite expensive.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am. They come up, it's an automatic transfer that the mechanism senses the purchase power going away calls for the generator power to come on. So that is a computerized mechanism in itself, because that's a safety that will be required on any of them to have.
Right.
So if you relocate it to a place, yes ma'am, you would either have to install a new switchgear, it's called, at that facility. Or upgrade and move them.
That's good to know too, because you don't wanna end up spending more in hookup and disc hookup charges than just buying a large one to get started. Other question is, Ms. Carter or Chief, what is the requirements, or what are the requirements for accreditation? Do they give you a threshold? Are there levels according to how big your department is? How does that work?
Everything that I've heard is it's basically to run with, you know, to operate your department, whatever
the
you got.
The whole department.
Whatever you got.
We're seeking to be accredited the way they're working now. So we rely, for example, on the evidence storage through the sheriff's department.
Right.
So there's nothing in the basement that they need operationally that gets checked off on the accreditation. If at some point in the future you had a situation where, you know, they really felt like we've got too much evidence, it's not convenient to be able to go get at the sheriff's department evidence room was running out of space, something like that, and they wanted to utilize the basement, for example, that's a point at which, now that you're taking that space on as actual usable space in the department, then you would need the additional generator capacity. So that's why, I mean, it's really this whole weighing of where you are right now versus where you think you're going to be in the future. We don't have any reason to think right now that we would need that basement to be, you know, air conditioned and have generator capacity, but at the same time, because this is a substantial purchase, we really wanted council to be aware of the choices that are being made. It's not one of those things that it's just...
So the requirement is your square footage and your utilized space, not your computer components or how many officers you have. Is that your actual square footage?
It's based on the building.
That's what I was trying to ask.
And they have to be able to function. If power goes off, they've got to be able to function out, work out of their building.
Yeah, I got that.
And so that's part of it.
The generator is usually sized to the amperage serving the building, so that it'd be adequate. So if you got a 400 amp service in the building, then the generator needs to be capable of producing at that at a minimal. So that being said, if you upsize and need more current in the police department, you may end up upsizing the electrical part too.
Okay.
With the generator, so.
What do you see that possibly having to happen if we utilize the basement? Are we going to require more amperage into that building?
I'm not 100% sure.
Or are we?
I would think it's at least 400 amps.
Or do we have spare? Because
what did Steve say when he didn't indicate any of that when he said he had the bigger generator, right?
No, he priced it to do, I told him what we had down the road. He priced it for that.
Okay, so I think that kind of answers that, you know, there.
Okay. Ms. Carter,
yes,
I don't have it in front of me. What are we talking about with the budget? How are we looking on the budget end to make this decision?
So the reason why this is a purchase approval and we're not asking for a money appropriation is Ms. Morgan and I have looked over what the contingency has in it and we're really fine.
Mm-hmm.
She's also been pulling together the financials from the new financial system, and revenues are stronger than what we had anticipated. So the budget is not looking like it's in bad shape, and either one of these could be accommodated within the contingency fund as it stands now.
Okay. That's all I have.
Mr. Watts? I do have not so many questions as things I want to address. As far as the transfer switch, if you move the unit, you would have to get another transfer switch to move the new building, and that's a substantial cost, is a transfer switch, because that's generally located inside the building. I have one. It's not as big as the biggest one, but it's about the size of the one that, the lowest one. If you get a propane tank and you get on auto refill, then your tank is always full. And I can tell you, these things, at least mine sips propane. It doesn't use a lot. So if you had an outage for 4 or 5 days, your tank size that they're going to get is going to be certainly ample to do that. and then it'd be refilled if the fuel's available right after that. So I don't see a real problem with fuel because it'll always be full. If we had a shortage, then you had a power issue along with that, then you could have a problem. As far as the, if you put, and I envision them having to move that evidence room before too many moons. I'd say within the next 5 to 10 years, they're going to have to move it to their building. And that's going to have to be climate controlled because of the drugs that they'll store and things that they'll have, weapons they'll have in there. So you're going to have climate control down there, which is going to require a bigger generator. I am always, this town has gotten in trouble with this, let's pay for just what today versus plan for future. Well, that water line's no prime example. That's how we got to where we are for years of just, let's fix it, let's patch it. I'm a firm believer in, if you can do it, plan for the future and do it right. And you should know that. So, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Now that we've all had our point, I'm going to push it back. I think Mr. Watts made his argument, so we're going to push back to Mr. Watts. Is there a motion you would like to make?
I would like to. Well, no, I do have one. Can I still ask a question, Chief? I forgot one. Nope. Okay, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we go with the, was it 35 kilowatt?
Yes,
sir. 35 yes, kilowatt, sir. Roughly 17 and some change.
May I have a second, please?
I'll second.
I have a second from Ms. Carton. Once again, around the campfire. Ms. Turner.
I don't have anything
else
to say.
And Ms. Carton?
I don't have anything
else
to say.
Mr. Watts?
Does this thing come with, would you do a service agreement for year, a year? Do they have
yeah, it comes with the warranty and all. It's, what all is attached to that, Ms. Carton?
So this one has a 5-year warranty, so you've got that comes with it. And then, I believe, it does come with all the labor and materials. So you do have a 5-year warranty. He does not explicitly say in his about the 1-year service agreement. The other ones do have that, but that one is.
And we have to have that too for.
Yeah, the oil has to be changed. It has to be tuned up once a year. So that would be a question.
I feel confident.
I would think so.
Yeah, because I mean that's what he does also. So. That's
sorry.
I'm sorry. I detained Charles.
Okay. I would.
And then again, this unit is at cost. So if you were to buy this unit, right. What I was told, it's way beyond that.
Way beyond that.
That total, like, way beyond it. You wouldn't be able to, probably, you wouldn't go for it.
Ms. Wheaton?
No question.
All right. Vote. Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Mr. Watts?
Yes.
Ms. Carton?
Yes, but I would like to clarify the motion now that we are hearing confusion of the maintenance of it. I would like the motion to include that we absolutely check that the maintenance is included.
Can we? I will amend the motion.
Can we just put it in there based on?
I do not think we're going to have maintenance included in this because it's at cost. I think that's something that we will. I mean, and again, that's not a purchase approval amount that is going to need to come to council. We can include that under our typical maintenance costs. I think if we demand that on this particular one, because he has said this is one he has in stock and he's selling it to us at cost, I think the price will change. So,
well, all I'm saying is
we'll make
we
sure that happens.
Can we ask?
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. If we can ask.
Yeah, my experience with mine, not that one.
Right.
It cost me $600 for 3 years of service period.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm fine with all of that, and I understand that we're getting it at cost. I would just like to ask.
Yeah. Okay, we can just put that in as an ask.
Yeah, just ask. Okay.
All right.
Something you want. That's something I need.
Okay. Gotcha. And Ms. Turner.
That's something I need.
Motion is carried 3-1-1. Ms. Carter, would you just like to go over the big sheet?
Yes, so this is one of those things I really wanted to bring to council, just you know, in the interest of transparency and making sure that we're all on the same page. every year, council, of course, gets a budget, and the budget includes salaries, and council, several years ago, before I got here, had adopted a pay study, had implemented, had given money in the budget for the purpose of implementing the pay study, and of course, the council knows that we have done that over time. Every year, when we do the budget, we update the pay scale by cost of living increases, so the overall numbers change every year to keep it current with the market. But the other thing that I wanted to just make sure the council saw is the positions that we would see as being placed on that pay scale, and then which positions, but this is a question for Mrs. Turner, because I had gone over this, she had asked about it, and the positions that are actually authorized within the budget is the second group of positions. So really, not so much needing to have this is one of those things that if you're manager, you empower me to do, but I really just thought when we are going through and doing, for example, the professional development program for the police department, that's something you adopted in your pay study, but we've never implemented. So this shows you how we would be implementing that. Interestingly enough, Mrs. Hunt, who has been here for years, didn't show up on the pay plan, so made sure that we put her on the pay plan. So these are, it really is kind of this cleanup and updating and then making sure I'm communicating that to council. So if you have any questions about it, let me know. If you have any comments, or I'd be happy to go through any more detail.
Cigarette tax. The floor is yours, Ms. Morgan.
So several years ago, town council had asked me to come up with figures and do some research on cigarette tax and what the revenue would bring to town. The figures that are in the memo are what I came up with in 2017 based on the cigarette sales that Dollar General, Food Line, and Cookie had given me at the time. Based on the research and the revenue that we would have bought in, we faced two problems. Number one, implementing a low cigarette tax would not have bought us in enough revenue for it to be worth the trouble, because it is a lot of work and paperwork and getting it started. It was just not worth the trouble. But then on the other end, implementing a tax that would have given us enough revenue to justify that work would have possibly sent our customers into the county who did not have a cigarette tax at the time, and thereby lowering other revenues that we receive. So council just axed the whole thing. However, now with the county implementing their own cigarette tax, if we do not implement a cigarette tax for our own town revenue, then the county will get the revenue that they implement even in the town on the Quickie and Dollar General and now Family Dollar and Food Line. Ms. Carter has included the original information that I received in 2017. I have reached out to Family Dollar again already to see what their sales would include, to see about an updated revenue figure. The county at this time has stated that they're implementing a 27 cent per pack tax, which ultimately ends up being a 25 cent per pack revenue, because 2 cents of that is towards the stamp calls. So those same figures are in my information from 2017, along with different revenues for different amounts. But this would not be in addition to the county, so town citizens that buy cigarettes in the town would not have to pay town cigarette tax and county cigarette tax. But if we don't do this now, then the county will receive the revenue regardless.
Did you figure the filling station in? Because I don't think that store up there was open at the time you did your first
one. Yeah, they were.
The filling station was?
Yeah, it was.
The filling station sells cigarettes?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's not
there.
I didn't know the filling
station sold cigarettes. Yeah, they're really high, though.
Yeah, but, they do sell some packs, you know.
No, then they weren't open either when I did this.
Right, so they didn't catch them in 17.
So the thing staff really wants to make sure the council understands is, in the past, council made a decision not to levy an additional tax on town residents. That was a thoughtful decision council made. We don't want to add taxes to town residents or people who shop here. that decision is now, regardless of what you do, going to be overturned. The county is implementing a cigarette tax. It will apply in the town if the town does not have its own cigarette tax. The only question you have to answer is, do you want the revenue to go to the county or to the town? And then the other part of that is then do you want to levy the same amount if you choose to do a cigarette tax as what the county is levying? So it really, Mrs. Morgan said, you know, she was looking at all of this happening and the reasons why council had given several years ago for not doing this have now changed. And so that was why she brought this back to my attention about it may be time for council to look at this again and make a determination on what you would like to do.
Okay, before we move forward, because I know we have to set this with the public hearing if we move forward with it next month, but I'm going to kind of do this the same thing the way I did with the generator, because we know what the county is doing, 27 cents, but it's really 25 going into their pocket.
Yes.
So I think we collectively, and correct me if I'm wrong, we need to set what we're going to, if we do this, what we're going to raise it to before we set up public hearing. Is that correct?
When you levy a tax, you can set a public hearing for a higher amount and adopt a lower amount. You cannot set your public hearing for a
no sound of a live feed.
So, for example, if you set a public hearing,
whatever the live feed, they're not getting it.
A number for 30 cents. You could adopt anything from 30 cents down. You could not adopt above that amount. So, if you wanted to say we're going to set a public hearing for the same amount as the county, that would allow you to set it for that amount or to set it lower when the night came if you adopted it.
Okay. Well, then that answers that. So, what I will do then, I will go ahead and we'll put this out on the floor for the higher amount, for the county amount. And then see if we can set up public, we'll have a discussion, set up public hearing, and then that's something we can address after the public hearing, or whether we go lower the same.
Can I ask a question now about that?
I'll get to you. We're going to call on everybody. So, with that, if you could set up, you know, a higher amount and come down. With that, I would entertain a motion that we advertise for a public hearing for a cigarette tax. Is it advertised at 27 cents?
I think it would be advertised at 27, because that's what they're paying. But I don't, do you know what's the top of
your head? I don't know how that works.
Could we have the motion for the price equivalent to the counties? Let's just do it that way, because then we'll advertise it in the same fashion that we do.
Okay. I will entertain a motion then
Can I ask a quick question? A procedural question.
A procedural part.
Yes.
Okay.
So I thought that we were going to do it the same way that we did the generator and that we...
But then I backed up when I found out that we're not, that, I mean, we don't have to set a number tonight.
Okay.
We don't have to vote.
We don't have to decide.
We don't have to decide. So I'm sorry. I changed gears.
Yeah, you did, and I didn't follow you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I changed gears there. When I found out that we didn't have to narrow down tonight, and I think that will give us time for next month to everybody to process it and listen to what the public has to say. So, would you like to say that again, Ms. Turner?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I've got you. I'm sorry.
Could we have a motion to set a public hearing for a cigarette tax in the amount that is consistent with what the county has set?
I will accept the motion for this. What Ms. Carter just said.
I'll make it.
Motion for Mr. Watts. May I have a second, please?
Okay.
A second for Ms. Carter. Now, Ms. Turner?
Okay, so I do have a question. So I understand the higher, and if we chose to pick a lower rate, what is the procedure to raising the rate at any given time after we choose the lower, whatever the rate we choose? can you tell me what the procedure is in raising that rate?
Once you have adopted a tax, any kind of levy at all, it requires a public hearing to change that. So, and typically that comes with your budget season. So that's why you typically would have a public hearing on a new tax, or at the same time you have your budget. We're a little bit out of sync on this one, but it would require a public hearing to add additional taxation.
So is this the comment section two or the question section?
No, this is, get all this out before we vote.
Perfect. Okay. So when I read this, and I read all the things about why you need to do it, because people could go outside of the county to get their taxes, I mean, get their cigarettes and benefit. I would like to comment that what would happen if we have a lower rate, that there's a sweet spot that would encourage people outside of the town to come into the town to buy that. It's not that they're not going to buy it. So when we start looking at that magical number, I'd like to see it be lower than the county to benefit our citizens, for one, and two, maybe encourage other locals who are not in living in the town to come buy their cigarettes in the town, which would then also benefit us in a different way.
I mean, yes, that's a good thing. That's why I wanted to to do it this way. So then you say what you had to say, everybody gets time to process
right,
it.
Right.
You know, the one thing we have to remember that this morning brought up is whatever we set has to be financially beneficial or
correct.
Ms. Carter.
This whole thing gives me heartburn. I don't like being forced into doing something. So basically, I'm just going to shoot from the hip. Basically, we're being forced to put a tax on our town citizens' cigarettes because the county adopted it, and if we don't, then the county takes the money. So we're being forced to now put a tax on something that we said we weren't going to do last year. But if we don't, we lose the benefit of it. I agree with Ms. Turner. It needs to be lower than 27 cents. That's where I'm at. Everybody's going to know where I'm at. I'm more middle of the road. It doesn't even have to be anywhere near 20 cents. I don't like the whole thing, but I see all the other positives that they'll come and shop in our local stores. We'll have a benefit for everyone, but the whole thing just gives me heartburn. I don't like being forced into doing this kind of stuff. That's just
and we knew you would shoot from the hip.
And we don't have to, but then we just need
but
to
then,
understand.
Yeah,
that,
no,
that
and I'm not willing
the
to.
The taxation is going to occur regardless.
Right. But I'm not willing to hand it away either. I'd rather give them a positive place if they're going to have to pay, they pay less with us than go outside. I just don't.
Mr. Watts.
Ms. Turner has a point, and I advocated for the tax when we did it. That was the one that brought that up. But then at that time, it was because they were just going to the county and get it. Ms. Morgan, do you have an idea of where we would hit the point where we're not making anything off of this?
As far as the work put into it?
No, as far as a cost. In other words, we charge 20 cents per pack, are we still going to come out here?
Oh, yes, sir. The cost of the actual state process is only 2 cents per pack. So, like in the county's case, they're advertising a 27 cent tax, but two of that is for the cost associated with stamps that have to be put on the pack of cigarettes that symbolize that they're being purchased in the county or, in our case, in the town. So, anything above the 2 cents is totally off.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Ms. Wheat.
Yes, I have a question, Mayor. If I'm not mistaken, you said this needs to have, and excuse me if I'm not quoting this correctly. It needs to be financially beneficial or it won't work. I don't understand that. I mean, for example, if the county is going to charge 27 cents per pack, what is the lowest amount that can be charged on this?
So I'm not. So if you just charge the 2 cent a pack, then that's just breaking even.
Okay.
I mean, what
at the time I did this, there is a lot of administrative work associated with this, from reaching out to wholesalers and ordering the stamps and the paperwork. There was a lot of administrative process to this. So if that's where it's saying, like, part of my memo then gave you revenue figures for just a 5-cent tax.
Okay.
And at the time, a 5-cent tax would have only generated $9,000 worth of additional revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for that little amount of revenue, we felt at the time that with the work associated with it, that's just not worth it. So that's where you kind of have to hit your sweet spot.
Okay. Well, I personally do not think this tax is appropriate for our community. However, our town, however, if our citizens or the people, the population that's going to purchase these items are going to have to pay a tax anyway, it should benefit our town if it's purchased in our town. I do agree with that. I just hope going forward that we may consider, I would like to consider a break even. I don't know why we need to make more money off of this, because I think people are having to spend so much money on cigarettes as it is. And to add more, any type of new tax is going to not make them very happy. So I'm hoping that we can at least maybe have the lowest amount, but allow us to break even. Does that make sense? You know, I don't think we should profit on this. Because why? I mean, why?
Well, what's the break-even point if she's got a lot of administrative, you know? So you say 2 cents, well, that's not credible.
Yeah, like let's say the administrative, let's say the fee is equal to 15 cents. I'm just saying hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, it's going to cost us 15 cents to get it done. Well, let's just do 16 or 15, whatever will cover that. What is wrong? I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that in order to help our citizens?
Well, the one thing that I think that the break-even point will change from year to year, because it will not be the same.
Okay.
Because of administrative costs, for one, because salaries don't stay the same every year, things like that. So it's going to move every year. So I think what we set is something that we need to be able to set for a certain time and then not have to run back later going, you know, we're behind the eight ball now. We're shelling out. We're not even breaking even now.
We can adjust it next year if we need to.
Yeah, but we don't want to keep going back and adjusting, is what I'm saying.
Why not?
I mean, I just don't feel that is a good public thing. That every year you bring it back up another public hearing. Well, we've got to raise the tax again. I think if we set a point that we feel we're going to be comfortable for the next foreseeable future, for the next several years, that's where we should be, instead of trying to come back every year and reset the tax, because that I don't think that's a good thing. So.
From citizen optics point of view, it's bad to raise the tax every year, even if your intentions are good.
Right.
Even if your intentions were trying to make it as low as possible, and you do it every year.
So if we are to vote tonight,
no, we're not voting.
I mean, to take not for it, but to carry it to public.
Yes.
Are at the county rate, correct?
We're voting for that, yes, but it can be lower.
Okay.
That's what we're advertising. Okay. We have to advertise. We can't go higher.
I understand.
Lower.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we have a second on discussion. Roll call vote. Mr. Turner.
Aye.
Ms. Carton.
Aye.
Mr. Watt.
Aye.
And Ms. Whedon.
Aye.
4-0-1. Ms. Hunt. The Vicky record. The employee recognition policy. I got a little turned around when I saw you there, really. Most of the time I see Sarah's name there.
Exactly. Yeah. A while back I was tasked with trying to put some recognition award package together for council to look at. And what you have in your packet are 3 different documents. One of them is the policy itself. The other one is sort of just a summary for employees to take a look at and refer to quickly. And then there's a nomination form. The recognition awards, as you can see, it can be a recognition from a supervisor, from the town manager, from peer-to-peer. One of them is Years of Service Award, and that just stated simply that the employee will receive a one-time bonus for every fifth year of service. The Outstanding Performance Award, and Peer Recognition Award, and then there's a Spotlight Award. The difference between the Outstanding Performance Award and the Spotlight Award is the Outstanding Performance is pretty much, well, it is. It's for individuals, and there's certain criteria that they've got to meet, objectives, to get to that. The Spotlight Award is more geared towards like a team project. And it could be one person that stands out on that team, or it could be the whole team that the award goes to. So, if anybody has any questions.
Great. Has everybody had an opportunity to review Ms. Hunt's packet? Is that a yes? If so, I will, before we go back through it, we'll go like this. I'll accept the motion to the staff request the adoption of the policy. So I'll accept the motion. And then you'll get your chance.
I would like to make a motion. I would like to make a motion for this to go back to the finance committee to look at. When I look and review the financial component of this before it comes back to council to look at how that really looks. I was very confused at how the dollars played out in this. And leaving a dollar amount just by leaving it blank is very concerning to me. So I would like to make a motion that it go back to committee before it comes back with council.
Okay, Ms. Turner's put that motion on the table. We have a second to that?
A second.
A second from Ms. Wheaton. Discussion. Ms. Turner, you've said what your part, Ms. Carton, as the chairman of the finance committee?
As a chairman of the finance committee, I don't see huge dollar amounts, but I haven't had a chance to talk with Ms. Turner, so I'm not familiar with what it is she's referring to. Also, I think this falls underneath the purview of the town manager's responsibilities, and I don't want to put my fingers in that.
Okay.
But I would be interested to hear what Ms. Turner has to say, so maybe her and I need to talk about this, and I don't want to hear where she's coming from. I don't want to be close to anything. But at the same time, generally these types of things fall to the town manager's scope of practice. Responsibility.
Okay.
So I want to be careful
enough
to negotiate that correctly.
Ms. Watts? I agree with Ms. Carpenter. And Ms.
Lee. I agree with both of them. It won't hurt to go for the finance committee. Okay. Look at it, I don't believe.
All right, so I want to make sure we got this right. What we've done with our motion here is it's going to go to the finance committee. And then we'll go from there. Back to Ms. Carter, or whatever. Y'all can discuss them, but how it should be. We'll just find out here. Vote time. Ms. Turner.
Aye.
Ms. Carter.
Aye.
Ms. Watts.
Nay.
And Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
3-1-1 All right, Madison staff is around the room. Chief.
I've got to find
one thing I have to share is my accreditation is next Friday, 21st. See where we stand as far as moving forward. This Saturday, we're holding their first biannual trash pickup day, police department.
Excuse me, is that this Saturday?
Yes, ma'am. We've gotten some acknowledgement about it, and folks have inquired about it, so. We'll try it, see how it goes, and plan for another one, and we'll try to do it twice a year.
All right, I'll give you a second one. Ms. Hunt, do you have anything further?
No, sir.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir. Mayor, I've been asked to look into possible ramifications of the recent legislation with the marijuana laws. I've reached out to a couple of local county attorneys, I've also reached out to VML, as Ms. Carter has. We understand that VML will be coming out sometime at the end of the month, sometime after the 21st, with policy and procedure and possible recommendations. So at this point in time, I'd like to have the benefit of looking at that. I'll get with the chief, mayor, and possibly Ms. Carter, and just go over there and try to have a report once all that data comes in.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Thompson, welcome back. Since it's been a while since you and Ms. Morgan have graced us with your presence.
Glad to be here.
You have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir. Everything's great.
Ms. Morgan? Ms. Carter?
Nothing further. Thank you.
Matters from Councilwoman, Ms. Turner?
I don't know how many matters, but I do want to say kudos to your staff for doing an incredible job today in managing a chaotic situation in the town for a very long time. From my point of view, it was just chaotic. I live on one end of town and work on the other, and traffic flowed very, very well. And you all were present and in a big way, and it really stood out to me. You did a great job.
Major accident this morning.
Ms. Carter.
Sorry for that. I don't have anything.
Right. Mr. Watts?
Can you believe I have nothing?
All right. And Ms. Wheat?
Yeah.
All right. On that, did anybody sneak in the back and sign?
No, sir. I don't believe so.
Just checking.
Nope.
All right. I will accept the motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Turner. I'll take a second.
Second.
All of you ready? Just say
aye.
Aye. Jump before you.
I know it is, and I think that might be why it's stuck in my head.
But at least we're not together.